Three older men were sitting around a kitchen table one day doing what older men do, drinking coffee and kind of talking, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze and talking about life. And the conversation eventually turned around to the challenges of getting older. And one of the men commented somewhat sheepishly, said, "I hate to admit it, but sometimes I go to the refrigerator and find myself standing there with the door open, wondering what it was I went to the refrigerator to get." And have you ever done that? All right. Well, to the which the second man said, "That's nothing. I was on the stairs the other day and suddenly I couldn't remember whether I was going up to get something or on my way down to get something." The third man, shaking his head in unbelief, said, "Wow, I guess I'm lucky, knocking on wood. I don't have the problem you guys are having. Now, would you excuse me while I go see who's at the door?" That little delayed effect there on that one, you kind of had to. If you're not there yet, you'll get there. It does happen. You'll be going to get something, and you'll get sidetracked, and you'll forget all about what you were originally doing. It eventually does happen. Forgetfulness, it can be humorous, it can be frustrating, but about the only thing you can do is laugh at it. For some reason, the people of God, I think, have always tended to struggle with forgetfulness and remembering the things that we should remember. Often throughout Scripture, we are urged to remember the people, the places, the occasions, the circumstances that have shaped us and molded us into the people of God that we are today. This morning, I want us to just spend a little bit of time remembering some very important people whose sacrifices have shaped us and molded us and helped make us into the people that we are today. There are three groups of people this morning that I want us to remember, and you see them on the screen behind me as I'm looking at them in front of me. I want to talk a little bit about those who've sacrificed themselves for the sake of our nation's freedom. Tomorrow, of course, as you know, is Memorial Day. Memorial Day is observed on the last Monday of May, and on this day we are urged as citizens of this nation to remember and honor the men and women who have died while serving in our nation's military. Now, Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day. Many of you probably knew that, but others of you that might be a little bit younger and don't know about the history of Memorial Day might not know that. And it actually started in the years following the Civil War. At that time, it was observed on May 30th. And that date, as I've read, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle fought during the Civil War. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield gave a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and afterwards several thousand people decorated the graves of the 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. Memorial Day, as Decoration Day gradually came to be known, originally honored only those who died while fighting in the Civil War. But America's involvement in World War I changed that, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day was observed on May 30th. But in 1968, Congress passed what was called the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May, primarily to create a 3-day weekend, I think, for federal employees. Now, I don't know what you do on Memorial Day. Some families get together. They'll visit cemeteries, maybe. They'll place flowers on the graves of loved ones. Some communities will host parades and other ceremonies in honor of the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. As citizens of the kingdom of God, that's our first priority, okay? Let's establish that. That's who we are at the core of our being. We are citizens of the kingdom of God who happen to be living in the earthly kingdom known as the United States of America. As citizens of the kingdom of God living in this kingdom, Scripture urges us, the people of God, for the sake of the gospel, to be good citizens. We are to be good citizens, good witnesses to the world and the land in which we live of what it means to be disciples of Christ. And so in Scripture, we're urged to do a number of things for the sake of the gospel as citizens of this country. For example, we're to be subject to our governing authorities. We're to obey the laws of the land. We're not to use our freedom as Christians to flaunt the law of the land in which we live. We're to obey the laws of this country. We pay our taxes. We pray for our leaders and for those who are in authority that we might live peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness in this land. And we work. We work with our hands so that we can provide for our families and not be dependent upon other people for anything that we need. These are some of the things that Scripture urges us to do as citizens of the kingdom of God living in a worldly kingdom known as the United States of America. Now, if you're a good Bible student, and I know many of you are, you likely know that nowhere in Scripture are we commanded to take up weapons of war and serve in our nation's military. That is not something we're commanded to do, like pay taxes or to obey the laws of the land, so on and so forth. However, many Christians, in a desire to be a good citizen and show good citizenship, have believed it was their God-given duty, especially when called upon by their leaders to serve in the nation's military. Now, this is what I find really interesting, and some of you may not know this. In the early days of our fellowship, serving in the military was not something our leaders and preachers encouraged. In fact, in the early days of our history, members of the Churches of Christ were largely known as pacifists. I bet some of you don't know that. I suspect some of you never heard that. But many of our well-known preachers in centuries past, those who served as editors of our brotherhood papers, many of them did not believe that Christians should participate in military service. A name that I know most of you will recognize, the name David Lipscomb. Probably hardly anybody in here, unless you're just not familiar at all with Churches of Christ. Even if you're not, you've probably still heard of the university, David Lipscomb University in Nashville, Tennessee. David Lipscomb was the editor of the Gospel Advocate. Again, a publication that many of you will remember. He was editor of that paper back in the mid-1800s. He argued in that paper, in that publication, that Christians should not serve in the military, nor should they serve as police officers, nor should they hold public office or vote. Now, there was a pretty strong reason why he believed some of those things, and that was he had a very strong leaning toward the idea that the kingdom of God was about to be revealed. And his rationale was, if the kingdom of God is breaking in, why worry yourself with affairs of the world? Be focused more on the kingdom of God than upon the affairs of the kingdoms of this world. So there were a lot of things that went into his thinking that and believing that. But now, that was the predominant view of many churches of Christ. We were a people who, by and large, did not believe in serving in the military or any other number of worldly type affairs. Now, Church of Christ historians have noted that that view gradually began to change. A couple of world wars and some other social factors kind of shifted our thinking on that as a movement. And gradually the voices who championed the pacifist way of life kind of died out. And a new view began to take over. As a result, for the last 100 years or so, many churches of Christ, many members of the churches of Christ, have believed it was their duty to serve in the nation's military as a good citizen of the nation. And so many of our members here this morning, obviously Charlie Hildebrand, who led our communion this morning, as well as others here, have served honorably in good conscience in our nation's military. I just find it interesting. There was a time, Charlie, when it would not have, no one would have dared do what you did this morning because they would not have enlisted to begin with. So it's interesting kind of how we've changed our view of that. Now, I believe as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, we need to remember that ours is, first and foremost, a peaceable kingdom. We are urged to love and pray for our enemies. But war is a reality in this broken, fallen world, right, in which we live in. Evil is real. And oftentimes, evil regimes and evil individuals like Hitler, Mussolini, Ceausescu, Pol Pot, Stalin, many others whose names could be mentioned, need to be stopped. Now, some followers of Jesus, because of their conscience, have decided they could not serve in a military capacity in the armed forces. And so over the years, some have joined as medics or nurses or serve in some other capacity. Others have felt, as a result of their convictions, that they must serve in the nation's military. Now, here's what I think. I think the kingdom of God should be big enough and gracious enough to honor and respect both positions. If someone in their conscientious objection to war cannot serve in the military, then okay, we can graciously honor that conviction. But if someone believes in their effort to be a good citizen, they must serve in their nation's military, we can honor that conviction as well. Memorial Day is a time to remember and honor those who conscientiously, out of a desire to be a good citizen, chose to answer the call to serve in our nation's military, and as a result of that choice, paid the ultimate price and gave their life for our nation's security and freedom. Such people are, I believe, worthy of being remembered and being honored. If you are related to someone who died while serving in our nation's military, or if you just know someone, maybe you served with someone and you know someone who died while serving in active duty, Would you please stand? I just want to see how many of you have that firsthand relationship with people who died in service. Look across the way here. Some of these individuals served next to people in battle. We honor the people who you know, some of whom you're related to. You can be seated. We honor you. We honor them through you. And this is a holiday that probably have a happy Memorial Day. Doesn't really work, right? The tenor of the day is not one of, hey, have a happy Memorial Day. Kind of think about that. The people who just stood, saw, some of you saw people die in service. Some of you are related to people who never came home because they died in service. So this is not a happy, joyful holiday like Merry Christmas or some other holidays that we have. This is a somber holiday because people died, so that we might gather in a room like this today in freedom. And so I think that ought to be honored. That ought to be remembered. So whatever you do tomorrow in your celebration of Memorial Day wouldn't be a bad thing at some point during the day to just offer a prayer of thanks for those who've died while serving, so that our nation might be secure and enjoy the freedoms that we have today. So that's one group of people we ought not to forget. We ought not to lose sight of and to remember. The second group of people who need to be remembered is those who have sacrificed for the sake of our personal faith. You and I do not have what we have today by our own efforts alone, right? You do realize that, don't you? I read somewhere that the writer and author Alex Haley kept a picture in his office of a turtle on a fence post. Now think of the incongruity of that picture. Turtles aren't known for their climbing ability, right? So if you're driving down the highway and you see a turtle on top of a fence post, what do you automatically know? Somebody put that turtle on that fence post. He didn't climb up that post on his own. So the picture of this turtle on a fence post served to remind Alex Haley that he didn't get where he was in his life by his own efforts, but rather by the help of many people along the way. Now, there are many levels on which that is true, but that's also true in our walk with Jesus as well. We've been helped along the way of our faith walk by the example and the love and the encouragement and the help of many, many other people. On a personal note, those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning, how did that happen? Well, likely somewhere in the past, a parent, maybe a sibling, a grandparent, more likely a combination of relatives and friends and spiritual mentors taught us about Jesus, lived the life of Jesus for us to see, and helped bring us to a point where we made a decision to follow Jesus as well. We likely would not be followers of Jesus today if not for the positive influence and the sacrifices of many individuals who spoke faith and lived the life in order for us to see it and experience it. So we owe them a debt of gratitude, and we need to remember the sacrifices of those, some of who've gone on, who loved us and lived out in front of us the teachings of Jesus. As a church family, those of us who are members of this university church owe a huge debt to many brothers and sisters who came before us for their vision, their sacrifices, without which we would not be gathered here this morning in this place in the name of Jesus. Many of you don't know the little brief bit of history I'm about to share with you here, but in the spring of 1953, long before many of you were born, even before I was born, just barely, but before I was born, members of what was then known as the Seventh and Poplar Church of Christ were asked one Sunday morning to indicate if they would be willing to become part of a new church plant closer to the campus of Murray State College. Apparently, in the 50s, people's perception of distance was different than it is in 2017, because Murray's a pretty small town. So anyway, they wanted a church closer to Murray State College. At the time, it was not even a university. It was Murray State College. 14 individuals that morning indicated a willingness to be part of a church plant closer to Murray State College. We no longer have the exact list, but we have the names of some of the people who signed that list that morning back in 1953. Some of you won't recognize any of these names at all. Others of you will. Vernon and Mamie Anderson. Esco and Annie Lee Gunner. Hamp and Marguerite Brooks. Marion Mayfield Bailey. Estella Scarborough. Ed Hendon. And Jean Blankenship. Jean, stand up. Jean was a baby that morning. They made her... They took her hand and made her sign the list that day. I believe, Jean, I might be wrong about this, I don't know, but I think of those names, you're the only one who's still with us. I think all the other names that I've just listed there have passed on. Later that year, on Sunday, September 6th, 1953, 56 people met for the first time in a house on North 15th Street. It's no longer there. It's been torn down. That had been converted into a church building, and that was the beginning of what we know and love today as the University Church of Christ. We gather here today in the name of Jesus because of brothers and sisters like those who had a vision and who were willing to sacrifice to make that vision come true. We ought to remember those people and appreciate their efforts. Because of them, we're here in the name of Jesus today. About a little bit over a month ago, I invited you to submit digital pictures of individuals who've passed on, who made sacrifices that greatly impacted your personal faith or our church family. Many of you turned in pictures that we've put into a slideshow. We're going to show that here in just a moment. Some of the faces in this slideshow will be recognized only by those of you who submitted them, because they're people that you know who impacted your life. Others of them will be recognized by several of us because we know their connection to this church. Wow, I didn't expect that to be that emotional for me. Laura Hildebrand put that together. I appreciate her doing that. It was very, very well done. Let's not forget the people who helped shape us and make us and mold us into the people that we are today. Finally, we need to always remember the one who sacrificed himself for the sake of our eternal salvation and glory. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. J. Wilbur Chapman, an evangelist for the early part of the last century, used to tell the story of a soldier named Charlie and his friend Jim. One day, Charlie was badly wounded in a battle, and he was taken to the first aid station, then later to a hospital where his friend Jim came to visit him. And while Jim was at his bedside, Charlie died from the wounds he'd suffered in the battle a few days before. Fearing that he was not going to make it, and knowing that his friend Jim had no family to return home to just before he died, Charlie urged Jim to promise him that he would visit his mother after his death and take his place in their family. Now, Jim was reluctant to do that. He said, "But Charlie, your mother doesn't know me, and surely she would not want a stranger coming into her home and taking the place of her only son." To which Charlie said, "I've already taken care of that." And that he pointed to a letter that was on the nightstand beside his bed. And there was an envelope containing one word on the outside of it, and that word was "Mom." "Take this letter with you when you go to visit my mom and give it to her. It'll explain everything to her." In the letter, Charlie had told his mother of his injury and his fear that he wasn't going to make it home. And he told her about his good friend, Jim, and how close they'd become and all that he'd done for him in the days they'd served together. And he closed the letter by asking her to treat Jim like a son for his sake. Before he left the hospital room, Jim took the letter from the stand, tucked it into his coat, and then went on his way. After the war was over, he went to Charlie's hometown, looked up the house where Charlie's mother was living, knocked on the door, and waited. Ragged and worn from the ravages of war, he was a pretty unsightly character, and he wouldn't have blamed the mother if she hadn't opened the door for him. But to his surprise, she did, and she said, "How can I help you?" Jim introduced himself briefly, said, "I was a good friend of your son, and just before he died, he wrote this letter that he wanted me to give to you." So he gave her the letter, and she began to read it, recognizing her son's handwriting. And when she came to the last line, "Mother, receive Jim as your son for my sake," the expression on her face changed. Tears of deep emotion welled up inside her. She threw open the door wide and welcomed Jim into her home for the sake of her son, Charlie. That sort of acceptance is the story of the cross. God accepts us as His beloved children for the sake of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross so that we might live with Him now and throughout all of eternity. May we never forget the sacrifice of Jesus. This Memorial Day, let's be sure to remember those who in good conscience chose to serve in our nation's military and as a result paid the ultimate price for the sake of our national security and freedom. They deserve to be remembered. May we also remember those who sacrificed themselves for the sake of our faith and our walk with Jesus and who helped shape and make us into who we are today. But most of all, let's be sure to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, the one who sacrificed himself for our salvation and eternal glory. Amen? Amen. If we can help you this morning in your walk with Christ, if we can be a mentor to you, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, please give us the opportunity to do that today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.